This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
35 days until pitchers and catchers report to spring training. Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Massé with you until 7 o'clock tonight, and we have a jam-packed show for you. Steve Sachs, the leadoff hitter for the last Dodgers World Championship team, will join us at 6:15, and Dodgers third base coach Chris Woodward will join us at 6:30. Chris not only has a passion for baseball, but does share my passion for the Raiders, the silver and black, hiring back the man that should lead them to the promised land, and that is Chucky. John Gruden is back, and I know Chris Woodward is excited about that, so we'll talk to Chris about the Dodgers and the Raiders and John Gruden. Also, too, I have a little flashback machine for you. Last week, we played Vin Scully's 1982 Hall of Fame induction speech, so there was one other speech that got me as fired up as that one, and that was Tommy Lasorda's speech at the 1988 World Series Parade on the steps of City Hall. So we'll play some of that for you. And since we do have Steve Sachs, who was part of that team, on the show tonight, thought it was fitting that I played some of that. And Tommy was as charismatic a manager as there ever was, and there has never been anybody like him since. I don't care what a record says, there has been nobody like Tommy Lasorda. And I'm sure Tommy, if he still could pitch with that beautiful left-handed arm, he would be out at the Dodgers Fantasy Camp this weekend. Steve Sachs will be out there, and if you want, there are still a few spots left for the adult fantasy camp out there at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, which starts this weekend, and you can log on to Dodgers.com/fantasy camp. Now, before we go any further with the show, as I was getting ready for the show, I always like to tweet out, you know, retweet AM570's Twitter account that promotes Dodger Talk. And tonight, they had a picture of me. Our social media guy, Josh Criswell, wanted me to stand next to the sign outside the studio here to promote the show. So I just leaned next to the show, and now I'm getting heckled on Twitter from, you know, Alana Rizzo, from Courtney with a K, and Justin Turner, Justin's new bride. And I know, you know, when you get married, it really slows down. Usually slower, doesn't just come to a halting stop, but I can't believe Justin and Courtney are so humdrum now after being married a couple of weeks ago that they're just having a good time by the fireplace in their house and just finding a way to heckle me. But I appreciate it, and hopefully they're listening. You know, I'm sure they went to Shakey's, had a big night at Shakey's now that they're married, maybe a little Bed Bath & Beyond earlier today for Justin and Courtney with the K, but love those guys. And speaking of Justin and Courtney with the K, Justin's golf tournament is coming up January 29th, and you can get information and sign up at Justin Turner's website, JustinTurnerFoundation.com. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And speaking of Justin Turner, this is the question I have for you tonight. The Dodgers have not made any significant moves because they've made those significant moves last offseason when they brought back Justin Turner, when they brought back Kenley Jansen, and when they re-signed Rich Hill and Chase Utley. The question for you tonight is, who is the most important player for the Dodgers to return to the World Series in 2018? I have four. I have Kenley Jansen, who I believe is the most valuable and most important player and piece to this Dodger team. Without Kenley Jansen, none of this goes anywhere. Forget about the fact that there is nobody right now that we know of on this 40-man roster or in the organization that could even come close to replacing Kenley Jansen as a Dodger closer for any amount of time. There is no closer in baseball better than Kenley Jansen. There is no closer in baseball that is willing to be as unselfish a closer as Kenley Jansen has shown each of the last 2 years. Kenley Jansen has come into tie games before, has even come into games with the Dodgers down a run to hold the lead and give the offense another opportunity. What other closer out there, whether or not they have the security of a contract or not, are willing to do the things that Kenley Jansen has been doing for the Dodgers and really formulated a game plan with Dave Roberts going back to two spring trainings ago? There is no other closer that would do that. And when you look at what Kenley did this last season, Kenley Jansen put up historic numbers as a closer. When you look at the strikeouts that he had, the strikeout to walk ratio he had this year, it's incredible. And maybe he gets overshadowed by the everyday players and the flashiness of a Justin Turner, a Corey Seager, and a Cody Bellinger, and obviously the best pitcher on the planet in Clayton Kershaw. But if you look at what Kenley did this year in 68 and a third innings, he saved 41 games this year, had an ERA under 2, 1.5, and the strikeout-to-walk ratio, 109 strikeouts and only 7 walks. And I think he's been so good. I believe he has been so good that we take him for granted. And we took him for granted all season long. And when he did have that hiccup in Game 2 of the World Series after really being used more than he ever had before in his entire career, I think we were all shocked. We brushed it off. And that was so significant to the way the World Series played out. I don't think people realize how significant it was. But I still say this. Without Kenley Jansen, the Dodgers don't go anywhere in 2018. Now, the other players I feel that are the most important to the Dodgers' success in 2018 are Corey Seager, because the Dodgers don't have a shortstop, and he has been one of those emerging stars each of the last 2 years. And then I have Clayton Kershaw for the obvious reasons and the fact that he's missed about 2 months each of the last 2 years with the back injury. And I hate to say this, I mean, Cody Bellinger and Justin Turner have got to be right up there too. Justin gets all the accolades for his offense, but the stuff he does on defense means so much, not to mention the glue that he is along with Chase Utley and a few others in that clubhouse. But Cody Bellinger on the field, the Dodger offense was just meh. It was like having meatloaf for dinner. But then you got Cody Bellinger, and all of a sudden, we have money to get sushi, and we have money to bring in lobster, because he had that type of impact and flash. Forget about the flash, the impact, the flash of the ball flying farther than we've seen in a long time by any Dodger. But the impact he had on that Dodger offense with 39 home runs, an offense that was really lacking that punch with an Adrian Gonzalez that was hurt all year. Without Cody Bellinger, I'm not sure the Dodgers go to the World Series. 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Who to you is the most important Dodger in 2018 for their chance to get back to the World Series? We'll take those phone calls next. Plus, we'll hear from Steve Sachs, the 1988 second baseman and leadoff hitter and the 1982 Rookie of the Year, coming up next on Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse on AM 570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 7 o'clock tonight right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. 35 days until pitchers and catchers report to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. Dan Patrick not having any Dodgers on tomorrow, but he will have an LA Sports emerging star on the show tomorrow. Jared Goff will be on with DP tomorrow morning at 8:30. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We're waiting for Steve Sachs, who is just calling in. But before we go to Steve, let's take a quick phone call. Let's go out to Studio City. Chris, you're on with David Vasse.
David, I cannot believe it's starting over again. 35 days is just unbelievable. I'm excited. And I remember last year we went through a lot of stuff, and I think this is going to be it. I have a feeling that we're going to just copy what the Cubs did, get to the dance, and then come back, correct what their mistakes were, and then hit it back and get that ring. And I know that Cody Bellinger, for sure, is going to be our number one asset, the guy who's going to put us over. His cool, calm, collective, and his timely hitting is just going to get better and better.
All right, Steve, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We'll get back to your phone call in just a minute, but we still have a very special guest on the line, and that's the 1982 Rookie of the Year. We have the leadoff hitter and the second baseman for that 1988 World Series team on hold, and you can follow him at Steve Sachs Speaks. He's got a lot of things going on beyond baseball. He's also a broadcaster for MLB Network Radio. Steve was also my partner along with Tim Cates during the World Series and the morning show. Steve, how much do you miss me?
Tremendous amount, David. How are you doing, my friend?
It's great. Happy New Year. Great to hear your voice, Steve Sachs.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you.
When you think about 35 days until pitchers and catchers report, how were you guys able to have that quick turnaround from the October of 1988 for spring training? It seems like this is coming really quick for these guys.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, especially now how you have baseball season that can actually touch November, it is a little bit longer. But, you know, look, the great thing about baseball is the love of the game just really can extend far beyond what you think guys have as far as, you know, the amount of energy, the amount of time, and all these things. It's just superseded by the amount that they love the game, because you go throughout the season, you think about all the travel they do, especially the guys that are out there on the West Coast. You know what? It's all part of the deal. And actually, throughout the course of the season, you know, if you just even try to do it a bit, is take care of yourself and get your sleep and whatnot, yes, you don't feel the effects of it too much. And you know what? These guys that have just had this long season, as you just touched on, they've had time to recuperate. They've had time to think about this next year. And I don't think that there's that so-called hangover, you know, the hangover effect. Well, they had a long year, and they talked about that with the Chicago Cubs after they won it. You know, they had that long year, and then, excuse me, they really did kick it up in the second half of the season because they got over the, quote, hangover. I don't believe in that. I think these guys have plenty of time to recuperate. They're itching to get back at it. Spring training, once they get there, they really are glad they're there. They're looking forward to spring training. I always did. I thought it was a great sense of rejuvenation when I got to dead down in Florida. I loved it down there. So I think the hangover effect and the amount of time that the guys need to get ready for the next season, it's plentiful. These guys are completely ready for the season.
I'm glad you brought up the hangover effect because they talk about the hangover for the winning team, but
right. You've
had heartache in the postseason before. How tough will it be for these guys to put that behind them and start all over again from day one of spring training?
You know, it's a process, the maturation process for the younger guys like, Bellinger, guys like that they haven't been in the game that long. It's a little bit tougher for those guys. The guys that have been around the park a little bit, not so much. I mean, they can get through that a little bit better. Justin Turner, I think, will be a great example for these guys in spring training, helping guys like Seager and Bellinger and, Chris Taylor get through those times where it was tough because they were just so close. But you have veterans on that team. Even Clayton Kershaw, he's been around the block a lot. These guys will help these younger guys get through it, and the best way to do it is just they're going to be observed in spring training. They're going to watch how they go by it. They're going to be very businesslike. They're going to be professional. Emotion's great, and it gets you through a lot, but, there comes a time to be professional and businesslike. And that's what they're going to see with these guys when they prepare for this next season of spring training.
Steve Sachs is our guest. You can hear him on MLB Network Radio. You could follow him on Twitter at Steve Sachs Speaks. And, Steve, before you came on, I was asking the fans who they believed was the most important player for the Dodgers to get back to the World Series. I mentioned Kenley Jansen. For you watching them in the postseason as closely as you did, who did you feel was the most important piece to that team?
Wow, that's I'm going to say I'll go right there with you with Kenley Jansen, but I think Justin Turner is really the guy that, that provides so much electricity in this game. He's that stable force. You know, if you look at his track record and where he came from, this guy was a non-tendered free agent, I believe, with the Mets, and came out of there. Then it was discovered at you know, at his old college, and let's give this thing another try. And you know, he developed a lot more movement with that bottom half. That left leg is a timing mechanism and the way to generate more power. And look what it did for his career. He signs a $64 million contract. This guy is the epitome of a guy that can get back up and make things happen. And it's never too late if you got a big heart. And I think that's what people look at when they see Justin Turner. I think he's the guy, especially that big home run, a big home run after big home run that he hits throughout the course of the season and in postseason, for that matter. So I got to go with Justin Turner. I love the guy, and he's a very personable guy too. No wonder these guys just gravitate towards him on the field.
Steve Sachs is our guest. He won the Rookie of the Year back in 1982. And Steve, in 1983, how difficult of a season was it for you, and how difficult of a season of adjustments will it be for Cody Bellinger in 2018?
Well, you know, 1983, it was a tough year for me. That's the year I had that throwing issue. But I only had it for a couple of months, you know. So the first 2 months of the season, 3 months of the season, not so good for me as far as throwing the ball. But I was, you know, fortunate to get over that darn thing. But it never affected my offense. My offense was at least as to the level that it was when I won the Rookie of the year before. So I was able to separate those two things, and it was a great learning experience for me in my second year. But for the young guys on this team, you know, there's so much more available today with all the video and, you know, just all the information that they have, all the sabermetricians that are involved in the game today. There's a lot more available for guys today. And so I think with the the foundation these guys have, the veterans on this team, et cetera, I don't think they're going to have any issues with it. I mean, stick with what you got you there. And this team is very, very deep. It's got a deep pitching staff. I think the bullpen with the addition of Alexander is going to be, you know, they're going to miss Morrow some, there's no question, but Alexander's a good pitcher as well. Kenley Jensen's what makes it happen down in the ninth inning. And I think with all the experience that they're going to gain, you know, like Corey Seager at shortstop, Bellinger at first base, and boy, did Yasiel Puig turn the corner last year, turned into a – should have won the Gold Glove in right field, and, you know, 28 home runs hitting in the mid-260s. I think the Dodgers will take that, and I think he'll be at least that good this coming year.
Steve, before I let you go, when you look at the free agent landscape this year and how little free agents have really been able to sign contracts with teams, I believe there's still 136 position players that are unsigned.
Right.
What do you attribute that to? I believe it's because of the union agreeing to the current CBA. And if that's what you believe, how disappointing is it for you and some of your peers that went through that 1981 strike and the guys that went through the 94 labor stoppage for the player union to agree to this generic or artificial type of salary cap?
I don't like it. I like free markets. I'm not saying this is what's going on, but it smacks of collusion. When we went through the collusion issues with our team, I was right in the middle of that, and I had my contract. So, you know, it's a tough thing. I think they're going to kind of reconfigure the way they're going to think about these type of things when the next CBA comes about. But I'm all about free markets. And, you know, there's some big contracts, of course, that are still out there. But when you have 18% of the market that's moved right now, with some great free agents out there. You look at some of these guys that are available, and, man, just see what's going to happen next year when it's Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. There's going to be a lot of guys available with great, great careers still in front of them. You want to see these guys be able to move in a free market. And, you know, I'm not saying it's not a free market. I'm not saying there's collusion now between these guys. But the standards that are set that were agreed upon, as you mentioned, David, not too good. I mean, I don't think the players really – like the fact, you know, with the salary, with the threshold of the luxury tax, et cetera, it just stifles the market a bit. And, you know, teams aren't so inclined to go out there and spend the money if they're hampered by these obstacles.
That qualifying offer, Steve, is like a noose around a free agent's neck. That's not free market.
Sure. No, it's not. I mean, you know, and there's different levels. But if a guy gets over $50 million, then they get another pick, and it's pretty complicated how they do it. But, no, if it's tied to a compensation pick, of course, teams don't want to give that up, especially, you know, those teams that are in the middle to the end. They don't want to give that stuff up. And, And so, those draft picks are very, very important to these guys when you're talking about long range for, you know, for your organization. I mean, some of these things can make or break a team for a couple of years, depending on how you pick and how that turns out. So, you know, putting that around the neck, as you said, I don't think it's good. It does stifle the market.
Steve Sachs will be out at the Dodgers Adult Fantasy Camp beginning this weekend, and there are still spots available, Dodgers.com/fantasy camp. And Steve, curious how much you'll be doing at that fantasy camp. Can I turn a double play with you? What's going on with Steve Sachs at that camp?
I'll be hanging out. I'll be laughing a lot. I'm going to try to get some batting practice when I can. I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be sprinting or anything like this because hamstring issues start to come up when you're in your 50s, my friend. So you can't do that anymore.
Steve, it'll be a great experience for all Dodger fans if they're out there with you at the fantasy camp. I wish I was one of them. One day, Steve, I'll be out there with you.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Dave. We're going to have a good time. We were there last year, and it was a lot of fun. Get to see my old teammates and have fun with all the campers out there. They have such a great time. And they go out there with such a ferocity. You know, they go out. We had one guy that was so determined to play. He had two pulled hamstrings. He had actual ace bandages taped over both hamstrings on the outside of his baseball uniform as he was playing the game. So
yeah.
That's determination.
Yeah, that's determination. I think we could call that something else too, Steve. But have fun at the fantasy camp. Stay healthy. Right, don't let anybody run into your legs or anything like that.
I hear you. Thanks, David.
All right, there he goes. Thank you. Steve Sachs, one of the great all-time Dodgers and certainly a rock star in the 80s when you talk about one of the best players the Dodgers had during that decade, took over for the great Davey Lopes and never really missed a beat. He was great. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, we'll hear from Dodgers third base coach Chris Woodward, and we're all thankful he did not leave for the Yankees. He is still in Dodger blue. We'll check in with him next on Off-Season Dodger Talk right here on AM 570 LA Sports. This is Off-Season Dodger Talk with David Vasse with you until 7 o'clock tonight right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Bruin Insider is coming up at 7 o'clock, and tomorrow morning at 8:30, Dan Patrick will have Rams quarterback Jared Goff on the show. Our next Dodger Talk will be this coming Friday from 7 to 8 o'clock, and there are only 35 days until pitchers and catchers report to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, as the defending NL champions. You can't say that for a long time. Last time the Dodgers said that was 1988, and they were world champions that year. But maybe this year the Dodgers will get over the hurdle, and one of the great parts of the Dodger coaching staff is joining us right now, and that's third base coach Chris Woodward, who will be back for his third season as Dave Roberts' third base coach. Woody, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Dave. Always a pleasure with you, man.
I was very concerned when I heard rumors that you were interviewing for the Yankees manager job. I was torn. I wanted you to get that, but I didn't want you to leave.
I appreciate it, Dave. It was a great experience. I would love to have obviously been the manager, but I love where I'm at, and I made that clear actually in my interview that I've always wanted to be a part of something that we have in LA, and I look forward to being there as long as I can.
Chris, I've talked to some of your players and asked them how they've been able to get through losing Game 7. For a coach, I'm sure you don't have as much control as players do. How long does it take for you to get over something like that?
That's pretty tough. That was, I told a few people that day was probably the toughest day I've ever had in baseball. Not just because it was Game 7, but just because everything we had kind of built, I wanted nothing more than for those players to truly be champions. We talk about the word champion a lot. I feel like we have plethora of champions on our team. We have a number of guys up and down the roster that almost all of them, I mean, really just, conduct themselves as champions. So to actually be crowned a champion would have been, that's what I want more than anything for those guys. And to fall one game short, it doesn't negate the fact that they are champions. It would have been nice to have the hardware.
Yeah, definitely. And Chris, one thing that I always remember was before the postseason started, you told me that you felt so strongly about the foundation that Dave Roberts had laid through you, the coaches, and through himself for these players not to be intimidated by the moment, and everything that you guys put in place even 2 years ago was starting to come to fruition last year. Do you build another layer to that this spring training, and how do you get these guys to forget about Game 7?
I don't think you can ever get them to forget about it. I don't want them to forget about it. I don't want them to, you know, rehash it over and over again. It's a positive thing, what we accomplished last year. So, you know, obviously, like I said, it would have been nice to win that last game, but it doesn't negate everything that happened prior to that. So we built, you know, we created quite a bit of momentum throughout last year. And obviously the year before had a lot to do with the buildup of last year. So I think every year, I think there's always something to get better. This group of guys is pretty special, but they know I'm, you know, every day that I'm there, I'm going to challenge them to get it even stronger, to withstand anything, because you just never know what's going to happen during the course of a season. You never know who's going to go down, you know, who's going to have a good year, who's going to have a bad year. And when you can have a group of guys that believe in something together, you can withstand, you know, a bad year or an injury or, you know, whatever, you know, the game brings to you, you have enough to withstand it. So I think that's obviously the message, and, you know, to continue to fight and to finish what we started, because, you know, we got really, really close last year, and I'm sure a lot of guys are going to be pretty hungry moving this year coming up.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think everybody just gets sucked into the vacuum of the postseason and the World Series. But you have to remember how fun the ride was during the regular season. 104 wins, more wins than any other team in L.A. Dodger history was ever able to achieve. Is that what you got to take from as far as last year and not get just so fixated on that World Series?
You can look at the entire season as a whole and just say, you know, break it down piece by piece and understand that there was some really good things that happened throughout the course of last year. And, you know, obviously from a personal standpoint, there's a lot of good years and a lot of great moments for a lot of guys. So I think, you know, I don't think we've ever really looked too far ahead. I think our main goal, obviously, every year is to win the World Series. And that's really the only result we are really seeking. I think we're just so committed to the process, and I know our staff is, and our players bought into it last year, and you can see how, you know, the process of just winning every pitch really shined through, because we were relentless. You know, every game, it didn't matter if we were down 8 or up 8, it was obviously a recipe for our success, and it showed in the playoffs. And I think we just kind of ran into a team that was young, and they were pretty relentless themselves, so they had no fear. And, you know, we got punched in the face a few times, and we kept fighting, obviously, in the World Series, and, you know, ended up coming up close.
Yeah, it felt like you guys were facing, like, Superman's evil twin. You guys were basically the same team in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no, we did. They had youth, and they have a lot of really talented players on their team that, you know, that fight. I think that was, you know, what separated them from the other teams, and they weren't afraid of us at all. Obviously, I don't think they're afraid of anybody, which is great, because we're not afraid of them either. So it was just kind of two heavyweights going at it, young heavyweights.
Yeah.
So you could expose some weaknesses because of the youth. But I love our team, and I love what our guys are all about, and we're built for the long haul. Like, our guys bought into something, and they believe in something that can last for a while. So, you know, we have a young team, we have a young group of core guys that truly believe in one another, and my job obviously is just to facilitate that and continue to push them to get closer and not kind of farther apart.
Was it a rare experience in your baseball life, Chris, to see so many young players trying to prove themselves but yet cheering for one another when that other guy got that opportunity? That doesn't seem to happen too often.
No, and it doesn't. And I think that's obviously what I think our staff is most proud of. Obviously, with Doc leading the way, it's an environment that leads to that success for no matter who comes up. So guys like Cody can come up, guys like Chris Taylor, guys like Austin Barnes can, you know, obviously wasn't a full-time player the whole time, and then at the very end became basically our full-time catcher in the playoffs. And you know, wasn't scared a bit. Took the challenge on, and you know, and did very, very well. So I think those that kind of atmosphere is what I believe in, and I know it's what Doc believes in, and I know it's what our staff believes in. So it's really cool to be a part of that and to continue to push that. Because who knows who's going to be up next year? Who's going to be the one that, you know, needs to kind of step up? Or you just never know with the way, you know, like I said, with the way the season goes, there's a lot of things that change from day one to day 180.
Chris Woodward, Dodgers third base coach, is our guest. And, Chris, you've grown really close to Corey Seager, and he's been outstanding his first 2 years. And I was trying to think to myself, what can he do to get better? What can he do to get better because he has been so good? What do you think in year three for him is something that should be his goal?
There's a lot of things he can get better. I think he just from a defense, so obviously I work with him defensively more than anything. I think it's just continuing to push himself on a daily basis. He's a taller guy, so he has to deal with some things that other guys don't, you know, maybe the younger, quicker guys can get away with. He can't. So he can't take anything for granted, obviously, when it comes to his technique or his first step. And I think he can always get better at that. I think he can anticipate, you know, maybe a tenth of a second quicker. And I think that's what I'm going to push him to, just challenge him to do. Now, obviously, he enjoys the work every day. He enjoys, you know, the process of winning every pitch. He really values that. And that's what I'm most proud of him for, because he can do it every day for as long as you want him to. He's built that muscle, that mental muscle up so well that he can withstand anything. So I think from an offensive standpoint, I think he's pretty much the same. Like, I just think there's some things that he can learn. It's his third year facing some of the same pitchers, same staffs. And so I think that, you know, him just learning the league a little more and kind of valuing a little more information in that way will just give him just, I guess, a little bit more of, you know, of an advantage, because he's already got a great swing, so he's got a huge advantage. Every little advantage that he gains just makes his numbers that much better.
Yeah, I was curious if you thought experience was going to be his greatest weapon going into year three.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's he's always been a pretty calm guy, so I don't think that you know, he's never seemed to be overwhelmed at any moment.
No.
In fact, he told me that he doesn't get nervous on the field ever, which really stunned me when he first, you know, when he told me that, because I had a younger kid had asked me, like, you know, how do you battle getting nervous? And he didn't have an answer. He's like, I don't get nervous on the baseball field. That's the only place I don't.
He's just thinking about his jersey mics after the game.
Right. So, I mean, he's so mature in so many ways. He's so much higher than I've ever seen a kid that age.
Yeah.
But I, you know, like I told him, I will always challenge him in every other way that I feel like he can be challenged. I'm going to. So I think he can be, you know, more of a leader. I think this is going to be his team at some point. So I've always challenged him to kind of take on that role a little bit more every year.
Chris Woodward, Dodgers third base coach, is our guest. All right, Chris, before I let you go, we got to talk about our Raiders bringing back Chucky, old John Gruden. I sent you the text, and I didn't get the response that I thought I would. So are you not as high on this as I am?
No, I definitely am. I just happened. We've just been traveling forever. So I definitely got your text, and I was definitely excited when I found out, because last year was a little bit frustrating, you know, coming onto a season with some expectations. And, you know, I actually liked Del Rio, and I thought he was doing a good job. But obviously, I am a Gruden fan at heart, even though he did beat us in the Super Bowl. But yeah. I know he's pretty good, and I look forward to seeing what he can do.
Yeah, he beat us in the Super Bowl because Bill Callahan didn't change the play calls. It was the same play calls that Gruden left with the Raiders.
No, you're right. You can talk about this all day. I know you can, Dave.
We could talk about the Tuck rule, too. We won't talk about that,
though.
Don't
talk about that. I don't want to talk about that.
Hey, like I said, we'll both get the pass from our wives, and we'll head to Vegas to see Chucky coach the Raiders, okay?
Right. Sounds good. I'm in.
Sounds good, right? It probably will never happen. We'll never get that pass.
I might be able to. I don't know about you, but I'm sure we can swing it.
I'll work on it. I'll start trying to put in some time now.
Yeah, you better start now.
All right, Woody. I can't wait to see you out there in spring training. The Dodgers are very fortunate to have you back on the staff in that third base coaching box, and everything that you do in the dugout, in the clubhouse, just everything. Chris Woodward is invaluable to Dave Roberts, and we're all happy you're back.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thanks for the time.
All right, there he goes. Dodger third base coach Chris Woodward, and I'm serious. That guy is really good, and he will be a manager one day. He's probably one of the more popular coaches in that Dodger clubhouse. Guys really trust him. They confide in him, and like you said, he's not afraid to challenge them, and that's what I believe players really respect, and what I've been told by players, what they really respect. They don't want guys just being a yes man, or coaches being a yes man, or just going along with everything that they want to do. They want to be challenged, and that's what Chris Woodward does, and he's really good at what he does. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We're going up to 7 o'clock tonight, so we do have some time for phone calls. You could respond to what you heard from Steve Sachs, what you heard from Chris Woodward just now, and still the question out there, who do you believe is the most important piece to the Dodgers getting back to the World Series in 2018? Let's go out to L.A. Gaston, you're on with David Vasse. What's up, Gaston?
Hey, DV, how are you?
Everything's great. I'm happy Gruden's back. I'm happy spring training is only 5 weeks away. Things are looking good, Gaston.
Well, let me throw a disclaimer here. I'm definitely not Manny of Gardena, but I do want to preface this by calling you the master or el maestro de Monterrey. Are you headed out? Are you going to join us?
I think so. I got to make sure my paperwork's in order, Gaston.
Just be careful. There might be a wall to get you back.
Yeah, no kidding. They might build a wall after I'm over there. They don't want me back.
Exactly. Hey, listen, man, what great interviews, man. I mean, I've enjoyed your off-season Dodger talk as much as your on-season Dodger talk. It's been amazing, especially that post or that World Series early morning talk. You know, it was great listening to you, Saxy. Tim Cate, it was something else. I'm pretty excited about the season. I mean, I think it's 4 days more than a month where the boys are back in action, and probably 2 weeks after that, the rest of the squad officially reports. But I know they all kind of show up at the same time, and I know you go visit them out there for that long haul preseason or spring training session that they do. So, man, really appreciate it. And, you know, I thought this is what Petros or Money have to say. They're just haters. They just want to be in your shoes and live that glamorous Dodger life with you.
That's right, Gaston. If you want to keep talking for another 5 minutes, we got time. I really enjoy this phone call.
Hey, I don't want to blow any smoke up your behind, but it's definitely a well-deserved all the accolades that you receive from myself. You know, Manny and Gardena, man. That guy's got all kinds of superlatives to you. What is it?
Hold on, Gaston. Manny's on hold. So, Manny, say hi to Gaston. I don't know, Manny. He's giving you a run for your money.
What up? Named after Gaston Green from the Gardena High, Mohicans or the L.A. Rams. Maybe not. But much love, Gaston. I appreciate it. I approve of the maestro of Monterey, the deacon of Dodger Talk.
This is great.
The Baron of Burbank, the count of Camelback. Hey, and I'm with Gaston, man. I love that pregame World Series talk. You and Saxy have a really good rapport, man. It was awesome. And as far as my two, I'm
going
to go.
Oh, hold on. Keep going, Manny. Don't move on to Dodger. Why don't you talk to Gaston about how great I am? Gaston, why don't you mention to him how great I am?
He's the ultimate authority in Dodger talk. We know that.
I agree, no doubt about that. Hey, listen, I mean, we keep talking. He's going to end up looking like a bobblehead walking around Dodger Stadium, you know? So,
oh, my head is so big, it's not leaving the studio.
A legend. And we just appreciate you, DV. You deserve all of the love that we pour upon you, man. Hey,
why don't you give each other some love? Give each other some love, and we'll call it a night.
Great caller, man. This guy's a great caller.
I could only wish to be half of the Dodger fan that Manny is. But, you know, I'm definitely trying to come up with all the superlatives, but man, he is at the top of his game, you know. So
you guys are awesome, Gaston in L.A., Manny and Gardena. Thank you so much for the love. We love you guys. All right, we'll see you out there in spring training.
We'll listen to you on Friday.
All right, Friday night it is. Call back. Feel free to call back. I'll give you the back line. There they are. My fan club. Two. I thought there was only one. Hey, I got two. And Gaston is right. Gaston is right. Petros and Money go home every night and dream that they were David Vasse. No doubt about it. You know, they try to hold back, and they always go home thinking about that. All right, we'll close out the show with my I'm not sure if she's in the fan club or not, but Isabel in Buena Park. Let's close out Dodger Talk really quick. Hi, Isabel.
How long have I known you?
What's that?
How long have I known you?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 10 years?
Yes, I love you, David. You know that. Todd.
Oh, thank you, Isabel. Thank you.
I love you. Anyway, listen.
All right, thanks for the phone call. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Isabel.
Listen, I agree everything we just said Friday night. And, you know, I do agree with all the people should help. I think the biggest thing this year, and I know it probably won't happen, but just to stay healthy. That's what I got to say. And you can let me know when the fifth preseason game is later. So, okay?
All right.
So, anyway, but I love you, David.
Thanks, Isabel. I love you, too. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. That was just shameless. But I do appreciate it. I do appreciate all the love, definitely. And without the Dodger fans and the passion that this fan base has, there would be no Dodgers. And by the way, the first spring training game Isabel wants to know is February 23rd. It's a Friday. The Dodgers will be kicking off their Cactus League action against the Chicago White Sox. And you can hear it right here on AM 570 LA Sports at 12:05. And like I mentioned, only 35 days until pitchers and catchers report to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona. What else? Got some housekeeping to do. 7 o'clock on Friday night is our next Nissan Dodger Talk, and I may have a very special guest in studio. A local hero, an emerging local hero, may be in studio with us on Friday night. So we'll keep you updated on that. You could follow me at @TheReal_DV. Tomorrow morning, Dan Patrick will have Rams quarterback Jared Goff on the show at 8:30. And don't forget about the two guys that desperately want to be like me, according to Gaston in L.A., Petros and Money at 2 o'clock. So that's where we're at. That's what's going on with the Dodgers. Matt Kemp, still a Dodger, in case you're wondering. But I find it very hard to believe that he'll be a Dodger when spring training starts. If he was, I don't believe it would be the worst thing ever. I feel like if Matt Kemp is a Dodger in spring training, it will rejuvenate the end of his career. And I know he's at the very bottom of every statistical measurement as far as left fielders go at this point in time. But if he could stay healthy, and from what I'm being told, he has gotten into shape during this offseason. He is understanding you can't do the same things that you did when you were 28, 29 as far as putting stuff in your body. I'm 41 and I still haven't learned that lesson. But I'm sitting here in a studio. I don't play baseball. But from what I understand, Matt Kemp is getting into really good shape. And whoever he plays for, I believe that they're going to get a Matt Kemp ready to go when spring training starts. And like I said, from what I've heard, the Dodgers are very open-minded to even attaching one of their top minor league prospects to Matt Kemp in a possible trade to see if they could find a landing spot that would bring back a player that could help them get to the World Series again. And yes, they have not made major moves or big splashes, but the Dodgers have the best team talent-wise, top to bottom, than any other team in baseball, and everybody else is trying to catch them. The moves that they made to retool their bullpen are definitely going to help, especially the one to acquire Scott Alexander from the Royals. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Steve Sachs and Chris Woodward for coming on the show. If you missed their interviews, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio and Matt with no last name for all their help tonight. Coming up next, the Bruin Insider Show. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.